On this episode of The Financial Bite, we will discuss the latest developments seen in the repo market. With me are Carsten Hiller, Head of Repo Sales Europe at Eurex, and Christoph Rieger, Head of Rates and Credit Research at Commerzbank. Together, we will look into what we have seen so far in the repo market in 2023 and what to expect in 2024. Welcome to The Financial Bite. This episode is brought to you by Eurex, in collaboration with Finadium. I'm your host, Anne Schmidt, and together we will explore leading topics in finance and economics, interviews with thinkers, movers and shakers in global finance to learn what's happening and what's next. All right, so I have Carsten and Christoph joining me today. I'm really happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, hi Anais. Hi Carsten. It's great to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
So we're here to discuss the repo market in general and its future developments for the upcoming year. Looking at 2023, what events influenced the repo market?
I think 2023 was really the year of the big turnaround in repo market conditions. I mean, after 2022, we've seen this massive squeeze, huge dislocations. Everyone was getting extremely worried that the entire market may break down as collateral just seemed extremely scarce. And then all of a sudden, things flipped just to the other side, and collateral became more and more abundant. Pricing levels became cheaper and cheaper. And so I think, the market has completely flipped from one extreme to the other, I would say.
Carsten, is there anything that you would like to add to that?
Yeah, so in addition to what Christoph said, I think, the European repo markets felt the impact of adjustments by the central bank, so with the ECB and the Bundesbank modifying the remuneration cap for non-bank deposits and altering interest rates. So these actions influenced the liquidity and shifted the interest into and demand into centrally cleared repos. And as I said, the remuneration cap for sovereign and government deposits at EURSCR minus 20, which then were further reduced by to 0% by the Bundesbank. This marked a substantial shift in the policy approach and creating a new momentum in the repo markets. And of course, what Christoph said, the cheapening of collateral. Yeah, so 2022 was the year of collateral scarcity. And this year we saw a continuing trend of cheapening of collateral. So, for example, in our ECB and extend basket and GC pooling, the spread tightened massively to only a few basis points, which showed this trend of cheaper collateral, especially the high-quality collateral.
And in this scenario, how did the repo market at Eurex perform in 2023?
Oh, wow. Yeah, we saw a remarkable increase in trading activities and setting new records in our cleared repo markets. So the total traded volume across all markets increased by approximately 120% from the previous year, and with outstanding volumes peaking at around 470 billion. And the number of transactions, number of trades was growing by more than 20%. So we've seen fantastic increase of volumes in all our markets. So special market, GC market, but especially GC pooling market. So GC pooling, it was the comeback of GC pooling, where we've seen that more and more clients, banks, but also buy-side clients and sovereign institutions such as DMOs, finance agencies are now using it again as a liquidity management tool. And we also continue to expand our client base. So we're welcoming new participants from both sell side and buy side, but also sovereign institutions such like the Danish Central Bank, but also major global custodians, State Street and BNY Mellon, as well as commercial banks like Raiffeisen Bank Switzerland.
What are your planned developments and key focus areas for 2024 on this?
Well, as I said, the focus on expanding our client base will be key. So this is definitely something where we continue to working on. It's by our innovating models, access models, and leveraging client demand to incentivize banks as clearing and settlement agents. Additionally, we are also looking into new regions. For example, in 2023, we had the first US client and also a bank from Poland. And we are also in discussions with potential clients in Canada. So new regions are also on our agenda. And what else is planned? So definitely to build momentum in GC pooling. We are committed to ongoing monitoring of the ECB framework review. I think this is a point where Christoph will talk about in more details in a few minutes. And and the balance sheet netting capabilities. Also, we seek to encourage broader participation from national central banks and state authorities. So enhancing opportunities for their liquidity and cash management.
Okay, thank you, Carsten. So I imagine this question is for you, Christoph. What is the outlook for the repo market in 2024?
Well, I would say that so far we are experiencing a very healthy development in a sense that, you know, central banks are pulling back and official institutions are also giving more room to the private markets. I mean, with the Bundesbank introducing its 0% cap for sovereign deposits, this means that, yeah, the market and also the sovereigns need to use the market more intensively for their cash management. And I very much welcome this and hope that this will also feature strongly in the upcoming changes that we may see in terms of policy, but also operational changes, be it from sovereigns or the central bank, in terms of allowing more market forces to let supply demand come into balance.
All right. So before we move out the repo sphere, is there anything else that you would like to add that you think the audience should know? Specifically, what are the main points that people should look into for 2024?
I'm personally interested in Christoph's view on the interest rates, especially here in the Eurozone by the ECB, as this is also impacting our markets. So now as we reach the peak of the levels, and we've seen in the previous year a huge amount of term business up to 1 year, but also having, let's say, now the majority back in the short dates, which means that the majority of our traded volume in GC pooling is between overnight and 1 week. But with maybe potential rate cuts, which then would end up in movements of the curve, I'm pretty sure that this would also result in more term activity on our side. Movements of the interest rate curve and rate decisions, either rate hikes or rate cuts, are always good for our market because it gives automatically banks the opportunity, trading opportunities in the long end and in the short end. So that's why I'm quite interested in Christoph's view for next year.
Christoph, any comments on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly have strong views on any of those items. A nice question in terms of what other things may impact the market next year. I would also like to flag the EU, which has become, of course, a very established market participant in the European bond markets and still is by far the largest net issuer, providing a lot of supply, and is quite keen to also enhance its repo activities. And in their funding plans, I found it quite interesting that they are also looking to build up a portfolio of own bonds that they are holding, which sounds very similar to what the German Finanzagentur has been doing in terms of being able to provide collateral and repo trading activities to the market, facilitate these activities more clearly. So this, I think, will certainly be an interesting one to watch. Yeah, and on Carsten's points regarding trading opportunities and basically where are repo levels heading for the upcoming year, I think we've really seen a big sea change in terms of the market trading out of a significant short base a year ago or a year and a half ago towards becoming more bullish, and now with a lot of especially leveraged money trading out of the long base. And I think this completely changes the balance in the repo market in a sense that, of course, if you are trading out of a short base, you have to fund these positions. And collateral tends to be scarce, whilst if leveraged funds are now looking for lower rates, they are rather looking to trade out of a long base, which means they then need to fund their positions in the repo market, providing more collateral to the market, which in turn means there's more supply. And hence, repo levels have already been cheapening, I think, not just because of this, but I think this has been one factor. And now the big question is whether this will continue or may even be amplified in the upcoming year, or whether we may hit a wall at some point, because make no mistake, the market by now is expecting 170 basis points of ECB rate cuts for the upcoming year. This may happen, but I think this is quite a tall order and certainly requires a lot of the macro speculation on lower inflation and the recession to also play out, because otherwise the ECB may not be in a position to cut rates as aggressively. And quite frankly, I cannot remember a time when the market pricing was so much at odds with most analyst expectations. So the views are quite diverging generally, I would say, in the market in terms of what we may see from the ECB or may not see in terms of rate cuts. And so the one thing is for sure, this means a lot of volatility. And for the repo market balance, as I just described it, it may also mean that we may not be on such a one-way street as we have been over the past year.
So it seems like it's more about observing and seeing how things might develop. There is one certainty, which is volatility. Is there anything you would like to add to that?
Oh yes. I think Christoph made a good point when he said that one big new player will be appearing in the market. This will be the EU. So they planning, as Christoph said, a repo facility. And we already see for now, few years, massively increasing trading volumes in EU bonds on our platform, in our markets. And we have now this year again, traded volumes almost doubled. And I think this will be kind of game changer. Yeah. So that when the EU is coming directly into the market and trading their own bonds in the cash and the repo market. Yeah. So this will be a growth segment, yeah, and by now it's, let's say, the growth is mainly driven by the continued increasing issued amount of European Union. But once they are also a direct member of the market, of the overall repo market and actively trading, then I think everyone will benefit from this, and we will see more activity in these bonds in the repo market.
Christoph, any comments on this?
No, just one thing that I think really came to my mind also listening to Carsten is clearly that repo markets are the lifeblood of the bond markets. And bond markets in turn, of course, are needed to finance these ever increasing debt volumes that are being issued. And hence, it is so of utmost importance to make sure that this market is functioning properly. And hence, I think this summit at the end of January is so important for understanding and networking and making sure that things are moving in the right direction.
So I know that you have the GFF summit in Luxembourg coming up at the end of this month. I imagine some of the topics we discussed might come up again, but I also wanted to know in general, what are the main topics that we can expect?
Yeah, so it's end of January, so 30th of January to 1st of Feb. Yeah, so we are starting again on a Tuesday night with the GFF bar. And yeah, this year's theme, paving the way for new paradigms, sets the tone for the summit. And we have a fantastic lineup of great speakers. For example, on day one, we have a keynote speech from a member of the ECB, then followed by the repo market panel, the kind of follow-up from last year, where we had, and we'll have again this year, Christoph on stage moderating this panel, but also we have again Martin Nazari from the German Finance Agency and other participants from banks and buy-side firms. Also, we have high-profile panels about securities lending, OTC collateral management, and a fireside chat about liquidity management. And on day two, on the Thursday, where traditionally the focus is on new technologies, we will hear about artificial intelligence and cloud topics. So, yeah, looking forward to see as many of you in person in Luxembourg. And please feel free to reach out to me or my colleagues for further information.
Thank you, Carsten. So in brief, what can we expect from this conference? I imagine it's also a great networking opportunity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we expect to get more than 800 participants being there in person in Luxembourg. And yeah, what to expect? I would say, first of all, we have high-profile speakers, so the audience will get very detailed insights and information and views about the current topics driving the markets and kind of outlook for 2024. And this is, for example, on one side, technology-wise, but also directly from the market experts, yeah, as we will see it in the repo panel together with Christoph and the other market participants. You will get, let's say, the outlook, what is driving the markets and what are the real topics for 2024. And on the other side, the participants always coming beginning of the year to Luxembourg because they are meeting people, not only for networking. Yeah, networking is very important. And we have all the networking events around the summit. Yeah, so the evening receptions and so on. But I think it's also to have a direct exchange and generating new ideas for the upcoming year. And I think this is quite important. That is, and this is exactly what we hear from our clients and from the participants.
Great. Thank you, Carsten. That's very well explained. We usually end our episodes with a financial bite, but given that we have just entered 2024, I imagine that most people are reflecting on what they want out of 2024, which translates into a New Year resolution. On this matter, I would like to know from you, what is your New Year resolution, Carsten?
Oh, New Year resolution. Yeah, I definitely have one. Yeah, and this is something a last year or in 2023, I started doing more sports again, which was a very positive thing. Yeah. So, and this is another kind of financial bite, as you like to say it. Yeah. Where I haven't played, for example, for more than 20 years table tennis. And in March, I said to myself, okay, why don't you, let's say, focus on something where you've been good at? So trust in your strengths and your expertise. So I gave it a try and I went out pretty well and was quite successful. And after three sessions, yeah, they asked me if I want to join the club. Yeah, so I signed up. And then after a few months, they asked me if I want to join the team. And now playing almost up to three times a week. But now for the new year, what's resolution for the new year? And it's again something with sports. I'm sitting at the desk all day long, apart from the days where I'm seeing my clients or being present at the summit in Luxembourg. My back starts hurting. And for some reasons, I stopped doing something healthy for my back. And that's I wanted to change now in the new year. So New Year's resolution to restart my Pilates and back training program.
So I guess that one of the resolutions is no more back pain. I think a lot of people can resonate with that. And actually, last year on our last episode, you told me that you wanted to try new things. Was that last year? It's been a year, right?
Almost a bit more than a year now. Yeah. And then you're right. Yeah. Trying new things. Yeah. But then during this year, I realized that sometimes you have to, let's say, rely on the things you learned and in the past that you've been good at, and then trust in your strengths and trust in your experience, not only in sports, it's in your personal life, your job. Yeah. It's always.
Trust the process of trusting, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Karsten. Is there anything you would like to add to that, Christoph, your New Year resolution?
Well, trying new things, like Karsten said, is certainly something I'm also very eager in. But I would add that I'm also quite hopeful and keen that I can still maintain some of the old things that I used to do. Like, for instance, also in the field of sports, as Karsten was mentioning, being able to make it to the hockey team again, basically the old men's field hockey team that I love to play with, but I wasn't able due to some injuries. And now I see more and more people on the team actually moving away to playing golf or doing some other more relaxing sports. And so I hope that, yeah, we can still be able to, yeah, to play some team sports. And that's what I would certainly be looking forward to next year.
Well, you're talking with a Swiss girl, so hockey is a big thing here. Well, I really hope you're going to get into that, but I'm sure you will, because it's an intention that you have set, so it will happen. And next time we'll talk, I'm going to ask you where you're at with your hockey team.
Yeah, and hopefully the answers will be quite positive then.
Well, for sure. I mean, I'm pretty positive about that one. Let's see, for me, my New Year resolution is more about going into things that are important for me as an individual. And to me, it's to do my own solo project in the music business. I've been working in teams for quite some time now, and I feel like it's time for me to delve into my own self and kind of lose myself in the process as well. So I feel ready for that. Nevertheless, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your insights and your New Year resolution. And we'll talk next year for sure. Or this year, actually, because we're in 2024 now.
Yeah, thank you very much. And good luck with your solo projects. Looking forward to hearing how that goes.
Yeah, thank you, Anais. Thank you, Christoph. And I can echo what Christoph said. Really curious to hear more about your solo project.
Thank you for listening to The Financial Bite. We invite you to visit our website on finadium.com and to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for additional content.